A Whale on Wall Street by Roy Trumbull, copyright 2007. Chapter 7. The Visit. A few days later, Harry took the red train from Grand Central Station to Stamford. It's not a very long ride, but it gave Harry a few minutes to think over what this meeting would mean. His adoptive parents had raised him, taken him to the doctor, driven him to school on rainy days, taken him to soccer practice, paid for his education, and this man, his biological father, had done none of those things. It was hard to get all choked up about a dying man who'd never lifted a finger or been interested in any way. As he rode in a cab from the train station, feelings swam one way and another about his brain. If nothing else, this would answer some of the questions he had after he was told he was adopted. The house was on South Lake in North Stamford. Nothing much in that area for less than $2 million. Quite a few of the homes had 5 or 6 bedrooms and often as many bathrooms. This one was a fairly new brick colonial with columns to either side of the front door. There was a garage for at least 4 cars, and Harry could see the swimming pool diving board in the rear as he got out of the cab. Quite a change from the 2-bedroom tract house he'd grown up in. He was let in by a well-dressed man who introduced himself as Sam, an assistant to Manny. They went upstairs and Sam knocked on the door. A woman's voice told them to wait a minute. Sam said, "That's his nurse." When they were admitted, Harry saw a man with a sallow complexion propped up in bed on pillows. "Come here," he said. "Let me see you." Harry crossed the room. "There's a bit of my youthful look in you. I hear you're studying medicine."
"Yes."
"That's good. I studied for the gallows. I did all manner of things I'm not proud of. And here I am at the end of my life just meeting you. I don't expect you to forgive my disinterest. I was not a nice person. Death has given me the focus I lacked in life. You have a girl?"
"Yes, Ruth. I believe you talked to her."
"She sounded pleasant enough. I hope it works out. I had 4 wives. None of my marriages lasted long." Then he looked toward the door and smiled. "I see I have another visitor."
Harry saw no one.
"My son, I'm glad we met. Be clever and scrub the dirt off of my money and put it to good use."
He smiled as if pleased with himself, then his head slumped to his chest, and he was gone.
Sam spoke up. "He wasn't as bad as he claimed. He played the game with the best of them and did whatever it took."
Sam and Harry stood there silently for a few minutes, then Sam said,
Would you read the mourner's Kaddish with me?"
"The Kaddish?"
"Yes, the prayer for the dead."
"I'm afraid I don't know it." Sam pulled a book out of a desk drawer and flipped through the pages. It was a copy of the old Union prayer book. He handed it to Harry.
It's transliterated. Just follow me."
They began.
"Yit gadal v'yit kadash yamei rabba, v'alma dira hirute v'amlik malhute."
The minister and Manny began their long journey.
Sam said, I know you're not Jewish, but it would help if you would pretend to be for maybe a week. I'll stick close, so don't worry about making a mistake. None of his friends were religious, but they all know the traditions. From my days in the garment trade, I'd say you're 42 long. I brought a couple of suits over. Let's see if one fits."
"What's wrong with the suit I have on?"
"Oh, your suit is fine. I just don't want to tear the lapel."
"Why would you do that?"
"Tradition. Those closest to the deceased must rent their garments.
Let's keep your suit safe on a hanger and tear another one, okay? The funeral was kept simple. A rabbi performed the service. Maybe 50 people showed up. The next night at the house, Harry sat Shiva. He had no idea what that was. Sam explained that when a death occurred in an Orthodox household, they set Shiva for 7 nights. A short service was performed. People who knew the deceased said a few words. The mourner's Kaddish was read. And then people lingered and talked, and light refreshments were served. Reformed Jews usually don't sit Shiva for a week. In this case, it would be for only 1 night. Harry wore the rent jacket, donned a kippah, and took his cues from Sam, playing the part of a dutiful son. He heard some pretty crazy stories about Manny and wondered about the ones not told. The following week at the lawyer's office, the will was read. Harry got over half of the estate. The ex-wives each got $750,000. Manny had reasoned if they were recognized and got a nice taste, they'd be less likely to contest the will. A bit of back-of-the-envelope math showed if they sued and got double, their lawyer would get half, so why try? Once the estate was settled, Harry would realize close to $5 million. 5 days before his death, Manny had signed a check for $10,000 made out to Ruth. On the lower left side on the check he wrote, "A gift." Harry would get some money right away, but the estate would have to wind its way through probate. It's the costly way to do things, but legally, when probate closes, it closes. No one can come along later and upset things without evidence of fraud. A few days later, Harry was back in school, going over notes taken in class by a friend and poring over his books to catch up on what he'd missed. Lost class time is hard to recover, but he was determined to try. His father had sent him the check for $5,000. Harry endorsed it and sent it back. He would have to see a lawyer about the best way to relieve his parents of their mortgage payment. The gift laws being what they are, he might have to buy an interest in the house in order to pay off the note. For someone who'd never had money, Harry quickly realized that $5 million wasn't a fortune. It was a welcome pad. Rich these days start somewhere beyond $10 million in assets. He was more than ever determined to pursue his education because it would be worth more than money and would stay with him the rest of his life. Money brought by good fortune or unforeseen circumstance has a way of going as quickly as it comes. The New York Times carried Manny's obit. It detailed his various connections, the investigating committees he'd been called before, and the short list of his indictments. It also mentioned that the bulk of his estate had gone to his son Harry. This news would create complications.